welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and super excited to be welcoming ESPN's Mina Kimes to the show in just a couple minutes. But you know it's week one when you record late Monday afternoon and have to add in an update early on Tuesday morning. But it's a good update for 49ers fans, with Trent Williams' agency reporting that he and the 49ers are finalizing a deal to keep him in San Francisco. All 49ers fans everywhere, and Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan and Christian McCaffrey and everyone involved, can breathe a huge sigh of relief. Mina and I will talk in the show about how important Trent Williams is to the offense and what a loss it would be if he was to miss any time. Today is Tuesday when I'm recording this. The 49ers play Monday Night Football next week, which means there's a high likelihood that he will get to be on the field for that game. Couple other tidbits of news. Reports that Brandon Ayuk should be at his first practice today after signing a contract on Friday. That was my colleague Matt Maiocco that reported that. Christian McCaffrey is supposed to be back on the field after dealing with a calf injury all through training camp, or through most of training camp and all through the preseason. My friends, it seems the band is back together again as they go for a Super Bowl run, or what they hope will be a Super Bowl run. Wanted to update you now. Please enjoy this awesome episode. Mina Kimes is incredible. It's week one, everyone. We made it. Let's go. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything football. From the preseason NFL to college kicking off, BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. Think you know your stuff? Get in our winner-take-all $300,000 NFL Survivor Pool for the upcoming season. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today and use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, and get in on the action. Bet online. The game starts here. I am so excited to welcome to the show the great Mina Kimes of ESPN. There is nobody who knows football better. You're funny, smart, talented, all the things. We're big on intros. Mina, welcome to the show.
Oh, that is very sweet. There's a lot of people who know football better, and a lot of people, yourself included, who know the 49ers better, but I will do my best.
Well, that might be true, but I have to be with them every day. So in fairness to you. I only have to really focus on the one team. I'm going to start here with a little bit of news that all of you listening may already know, but wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, after being shot on Saturday, which is just so scary, and thank goodness he is okay, released from the hospital. The 49ers on Monday put him on the NFI list. That means he is not eligible to return until game five of the season. But of course, this is something we'll be keeping an eye on, as he was shot in the chest. And so we don't know how long he will be recovering. And that recovery is more important than his football recovery, but certainly a very scary moment for Ricky on the 49ers.
Oh, God. Awful. Thank God he's okay.
I was on the field at Michigan Stadium and I looked at my phone and I was like, oh! And my friend that I was like with was like, what happened? I mean, it was like the worst. It's really one of the worst things you can see, but thank goodness he is okay. So we'll certainly keep an eye on that. But now we are going to look ahead to week one and beyond. And 49ers finally signed wide receiver Brandon Ayuk on Friday after our long national nightmare of going back and forth on whether or not this was going to happen. So that was a big deal, Mina, but they have one more person that is a bigger deal, literally and figuratively. Trent Williams, their left tackle, he has been holding out. Reports are varied as to whether he might be back by week one or whether he won't. But Mina, in my opinion, no Trent means no Super Bowl and like very few wins.
Yeah, it's really hard to think of a player on this roster who's more important, not just because of his dominance, arguably the best left tackle in the NFL. I don't think anyone would put up too much of a fight, but also his importance to this team in particular, given that it's probably the position group that is the thinnest. So mm-hmm. boy, not having him, I mean, you know, everyone's at this point, I'm sure any Niners fans are all too familiar with the on-off splits with and without Trent in every way, you know, all the efficiency metrics, running the football, how good they are running the football behind him, protecting Brock Purdy. It's a massive, massive loss if he doesn't play. And this one kind of snuck up on us, at least nationally. I mean, we spent so much time this offseason talking about the Brandon Ayuk drama. That I feel like, it, you know, I'll tell you, Tracy, my assumption was that this would be kind of like what Walter Jones, speaking of another great left tackle, used to do in Seattle, where he would just like, you know, skip camp, right? Because he was like, I'm Walter Jones, I need to go to camp. And then he would show up and get a contract extension and play. And I guess that's kind of what I assumed was always going to happen with Trent Williams. But we're talking about a player who is not only, you know, has a lot of leverage in terms of football ability, but also demonstrated willingness to exert that leverage.
Absolutely. And I kind of felt like you, and I think that was a little bit of the feeling kind of generally for all of us, you know, around that building that, yeah, maybe just at this point, he doesn't need to be at training camp. Totally fair. And it's also kind of interesting because I'll go back to the first day of training camp where Kyle Shanahan told us that he was holding out, but said, we've known about this for a while. Mm. That I find even more disconcerting, that they've known about this for a while. And here we are, as you say, barreling down towards week one, and it hasn't happened yet. And it feels a little bit like last year with Chris Jones, who with the Chiefs and the Lions. He watched the game from a suite, and then the Chiefs lose the Lions the next day. He signs, but we'll keep an eye on that throughout the week. We're recording this Monday, so there's always a possibility by the time it comes out on Tuesday, the man has signed. Yeah. But, you know, I think there's also a chance it's all on Nick Bosa. It's the end of this week. But we will certainly be keeping a very, very close eye on that. But looking big picture, let's assume Trent Williams eventually does come back to the 49ers. And you look at the NFC West. Is there any team, and I know this is a little bit of a sore subject because of your love for the Seahawks, but is there any team in the division that can really take the West from them?
You know, I've still got the Niners winning the division, and I would be pretty surprised if that's not the outcome. We'll see. I guess Trent Williams, if he actually does miss a significant amount of time, that might throw a little bit of a wrench into that prognosis.
Right.
But I think the Seahawks and the Rams are both very interesting to me. The Rams in particular, because I actually think when their offense is fully healthy, they are right up there with San Francisco. And we saw that last year when Matthew Stafford, Kyle Williams, Pinnacle, and Cooper Kupp all played together. They were actually on an EPA per play basis equal to the Niners, number one in the NFL both. So that makes it a little bit tricky, though. It's hard for me to get there because of the defense. You know, you lose one of the best defensive players to ever play the game. That's a pretty significant hole you're blowing in that roster. It's a very young group on defense. So I just think the lack of balance makes it hard for me to pick them over San Francisco. But again, that offense is so good with LA that like I could see them going toe to toe with them, you know, in some high scoring games potentially. And then with Seattle, I actually think they have the potential to be a little bit more balanced maybe than people know. I feel like new coaching staff is going to get a lot more out of this defense. And then offensively, as long as they can protect Geno Smith, this actually is, they're not up there with San Francisco, and I wouldn't put them with Los Angeles, but I actually think they have the potential to be a top 10 offense as well.
The Cardinals are kind of a bit of a wild card, huh?
Yeah.
Like we really just don't know what's going to happen there. And they're one of the teams I'm just kind of the most curious to watch because I think it can go really well or really badly. And I'm not sure if it can be in between.
Yeah. I think the really well side could be on offense and the really badly side could be on defense. And that's why I have trouble, like, you know, I guess envisioning the Cardinals as a playoff contender this year. I just think that defense is still really, really thin. And as much as I really like watching the offense last season when Kyler came back, they had a really dominant rushing attack. And I think they're going to build on that this year. It still feels like they're kind of in the middle stages of their rebuild.
The Rams play the 49ers in week three in Los Angeles, and Jimmy Garoppolo, former 49ers quarterback, in case anyone didn't know that, is out the first two games of the season because of the PED suspension, but it feels written in the stars that Stafford might be dealing with some minor injury, and of course Jimmy G will have to start that game for his first game back against the Niners. And basically, I'm just hoping for that because the storyline sounds fun.
I was a little bummed in week one of our Rams preseason. It was Cowboys Niners. And I thought, oh my God, we might get Jimmy Garoppolo versus Trey Lance. What a strange one. But Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play because Sean McVay doesn't play anyone in the preseason. But yeah, seeing him in a Rams jersey is like really, it's kind of surreal.
It is. And actually, it was really funny. My mom, who definitely follows, especially now because of what I do, but she actually asked me, she said, I didn't get to see, did Jimmy G get to go against Trey Lance? Oh. And I was like, sad. Even and she too was upset about it.
That's funny. He was there. He just didn't dress.
But it would have always a fun storyline. All right. So let's look bigger picture for the conference. The Lions got better and I think are a legitimate threat, obviously. The Eagles got better. I kind of look at the Lions as the biggest threat. And then the Packers, of course, I keep forgetting about the Packers and I shouldn't because they also got better and will be a really fun team to watch. But it feels like the Lions are their biggest threat in the conference, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I think the Lions are the correct answer. That's reflected in, most power rankings and betting lines. The Packers, I actually think I wouldn't be shocked if the Packers actually win the division. I'm so high on that offense. But when you think about like a threat to the Niners in particular, I think the build of the Lions presents a challenge, not just because we obviously saw them push San Francisco and almost beat them in the playoffs last year. But when I think about this Niners team, which again, I think they're so good and, right behind Kansas City in terms of league-wide power rankings, if they do have a weakness, I feel like it's probably the same one that they had last year, aside from any injuries that would pop up, which is run defense. And in Detroit, you have, a dominant ground game, best offensive line in football. So if I think about a team that could actually, move the ball on this defense, keep the offense off the field, Detroit is the one that comes to mind for me. And I think that's why they are probably a team that San Francisco doesn't want to face.
Is there anything, there's two things I'm going to ask you if there's anything too. Is there one, anything too, they did so well last year, the Lions, so close to the Super Bowl, but now that there are so many expectations, it can affect them? My feeling is actually no, but I am curious to your thoughts.
Well, shoot, I mean, San Francisco has overcome that, right, year after year. Yep. And it does get hard because it's not just the psychological toll, which is real, but also you're playing so much football when you make it as far. Mm-hmm. As San Francisco has, and guys get hurt when you play more football, like obviously Dre Greenlaw being the biggest example for the Niners. But I think with Detroit, the reason I'm a little bit less concerned is that they, despite being so successful and making it so far, they have continuity on that coaching staff. I really thought that they would lose Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, and he decided to stay. And I think that's massive because if he had left, I think I would be throwing a little bit of cold water on the idea that they can just continue building on what they did last year. So keeping him and Aaron Glenn, their defensive coordinator, was huge.
I really like Jared Goff. I'd like to see him do well. That's just an aside.
Yeah. It's a great story, right? I mean, he's really hard not to root for.
He is hard not to root for. And although I don't have rooting interests as a beat reporter, I would like to see him do well. Though I did have massive rooting interests for the Vikings because of JJ McCarthy, but now that's taking a year. I'll be back to that. I'm not quite the diehard Vikings fan I was from April 27th till the other day, but I'll be back. But, I just think it is a great story and the Lions are a great story and it would be really cool for their fans. So be interesting to see, but I guess by the same token, I bring up the 49ers and, the vibes, I would say training camp, the beginning, it felt different. Felt a little weird. I wasn't able to be there every day this year early on, but have been for the last several weeks. And part of it may have been the Ayuk stuff. I actually think the holding in was worse than the holding out because he was there every day. It was a constant reminder. So I think that was kind of it. Some of it, of course, is the Trent Williams stuff. And I think some of it is also that this is a team that knows that what really matters to them is what happens in January and February. And it felt like that was kind of a feeling. And so you get to training camp and it's like, here we go again. And there's a lot of time between now and January and February, and a lot of things can happen. But for this team, that's really all that matters. And with this particular group, I believe in windows, but I also think like windows can open and close pretty quickly. But with this group, with this particular team and roster, this is the last chance. And it feels like that's a lot of pressure. There's a Super Bowl hangover. But again, it just feels like the vibes was, we're doing what we need to do, but we got to get to January, and that's where it really matters.
Yeah, there's so much pressure on this version, this team right now, for the very obvious reason that, you know, your quarterback, I mean, makes, what, $1 million a year? I mean, less,
yeah,
I think.
Not
like,
even.
Yeah, so just, you know, it's never going to get easier than it is now in terms of the roster build. And that's not a dig on Brock Purdy or his potential or whatever. It's just undeniable, something we've seen, you know, with so many teams, the challenge that comes with making all of the pieces fit together. And obviously the Niners are going to have some difficult choices to make in the next 2-3 years. So this version of this roster, which is candidly an all-star team, they're going to take some hits. And you know, it's such a funny team to talk about, and a funny front office to talk about, because it's like, in some ways they haven't drafted well, but then you found a quarterback, mm-hmm. the cheapest possible position. So it kind of wipes out everything else, including maybe one of the worst draft day trades. So it's just like very, very confusing and strange, but it does feel like they need some of those young players to step up this year for you to feel good about the window beyond this year. But look, as far as this season goes, you know, they have everything they need. It might, I think what's going to be interesting to me is a couple of things. I want to see, you know, with the change of defensive coordinator, you know, going internally and with Wilkes gone, whether things look any different, whether some of the issues with run defense and tackling that really sprang up as year went on are fixed. I'm intrigued by, you know, the addition of Lee Collins, and we'll see how they look in Drake Greenlaw's absence. So that's something that's interesting to me. And then offensively, you know, Christian McCaffrey played so much football last year, just on the field so much. And the Niners were also very healthy. FTN has this great metric, adjusted games lost, that like basically looks at how injured teams were. And they were the fourth healthiest team in football last year. And it's not impossible for that to happen again. You know, no question. But I am curious to see, maybe load manage McCaffrey a little bit. What's the approach with some of these, you know, players who play a lot? So that's something I'm interested in at all, because as you said, this is a team that it's not really, the early part of the season doesn't really matter. It's all about January and February.
And you bringing up McCaffrey is interesting, because that's a contract that snuck up and they got done really, really quickly. But he's also a player who's missed the majority of training camp, all of the preseason, with a calf issue. So I think that's something they are going to have to be really careful of, especially early in the season. And he's obviously very important to the 49ers, but he did play a lot of football last year, and it was something that came up game after game. And, you know, Shanahan would say that wasn't necessarily the plan, but it's just how the game went. But it'll be interesting to see how much we see of Jordan Mason and how much he comes in there to relieve Christian at times. He's had an excellent camp and an excellent preseason, really physical running back. He's become more of a pass catcher, so they may be able to play with that a little bit. But the McCaffrey load of work is going to be something that is very interesting to watch.
Yeah, I drafted him first overall in my league, so I hope they don't listen to anything I'm saying. Don't load manage him, and just give him all the targets and carries. Come on.
I will tell you this. If they can give him all the targets and carries, they will give him all the targets and carries. So as long as he stays healthy, they will do it as much as they can. But, you know, there may be times. It's just going to be curious to see what the calf issue situation is going into this week. And there's been no indication it's going to be a problem. But one thing I have learned as a reporter is whenever they say we're not concerned about it, there's a 70-30 chance they're pretty concerned about it. So that's been, hopefully with Christian, I don't necessarily think that's the case, but that is the one thing that I have really learned. And with this team, we often get a, we'll see, hopefully they won't have one this week, but we also get like a surprise injury. Like we'll be like, we haven't had one of those in 3 weeks. And there's like this surprise. You're like, oh, wait, what? And actually we had it in the preseason with Kalia Davis. There was you know, Ambry Thomas broke his arm in that game. And then the surprise injury was Kalia Davis. And then there was kind of John Feliciano. So hopefully they won't have any of that. But that sort of segues to another thought I'd like to get your thoughts on. I did not say that eloquently, but I'll explain it better. Kyle Shanahan. I have a little trouble with the whole he can't win the big one narrative because he's had to win a lot of big ones to get to the big ones. And it is very hard to win a Super Bowl. And at the end of it, there are two teams, one win, one loses. That being said, he has yet to win a Super Bowl. He's been the head coach for two, the offensive coordinator for one, the very famous 28-3. If he doesn't win it this year, is it like he just will never be able to shake that? Until 30 years from now, he wins one a la Andy Reid? Or do you feel that it's also maybe not the most fair narrative?
I think that I don't think it's fair. And I think that we talk about Patrick Mahomes having that sort of Tom Brady-like effect where when we are, you know, I feel like too often we talk about quarterbacks and where they rank just based on, you know, did they make it to the Super Bowl? Did they win the Super Bowl and team sport and whatever. But the other thing that affects that is, well, if you haven't played at the same time as a guy who might be the best to ever do it, and I think you could argue is most talented in Mahomes, you're going to end up with a lot of really, really great quarterbacks who don't have Super Bowls. I say this all the time about Josh Allen, who gets dinged for that. Lamar Jackson, you know, is a guy who just lost to Patrick Mahomes. But it also kind of applies to coaches too, right? Like probably if Patrick Mahomes doesn't exist, Kyle Shanahan probably has a couple Super Bowls, and
that's true.
It just is what it is, and it sucks. And you know, I think it's a common conversation around him because of what happened in Atlanta when he was the offensive coordinator. But the fact that he has made it to, you know, that he has the playoff record that he has, despite the fact that he never had a Patrick Mahomes, I think is pretty freaking remarkable. So I don't know. I think he's the second best coach in the NFL personally. I mean, people have different rankings with Harbaugh and McVay and what have you behind Andy Reid. But for my money, let me put it this way. I'm a Seahawks fan and I would shave my head for Kyle to be our coach. I love the coach that they hired. I think he's great in part because of,
and he came from Michigan.
Michigan. He's a Michigan man. Yeah. But I don't get it with him, like some of the criticism.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, I think it's just he hasn't won the big one. And he's such an incredible coach. And I also think the other thing, because I see people say this on Twitter, and I do understand that Twitter or X is not actually a real place. But when people say like they don't win it, he should be fired. Who are you getting that's better than Kyle Shanahan? And no one. So it was a lot of pressure on him, though, this year.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on him and John Lynch. They've gotten so close, which will bring me to, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. What is your way too early Super Bowl prediction?
Shoot. I was asked by ESPN, so I got to stick by it. And I had Chiefs Lions after I had been rematch. And I think it was like, the day that like Ayuk and Williams were holding out, and I was like, I just feel weird today. So I'll probably go back and forth on that a million times. That is in the public record. So I'm going to have to say this.
Well, spoiler alert, we are actually putting out my way too early Super Bowl prediction on Wednesday. So I guess for those of you listening, you're going to get to hear it first. And I have 49ers Chiefs. However, part of me picked that because I felt like my followers at least deserved it.
Or at least they're the two best teams. It's not crazy. It's just boring. That's all.
Yes. And they're the two best teams. So there's that. But there's a part of me, I guess I should say that. I picked it because I really think they're the two best teams and I knew it would make my followers happy. But there is a part of me that feels like it could very well be the Lions. But again, we're recording this on September 2nd. There are so many things that can happen between now and the Super Bowl, but it is fun to kind of go back and see how right we were this early on.
For sure.
Fun, big week ahead. Let everyone know where they can find you. And very cool, you're going to be at Levi's next Monday night.
Yeah, I'm pumped. Hopefully, if you're around for the game, come say hi. We're going to be out for 2 hours for a Monday night countdown. So you can check us out there. It's very exciting. NFL Live is 2 hours on Monday. Otherwise, I will be previewing all the games on my podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny. That comes out Thursday morning. We are doing all of the games, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, that's going to be fun, and I can't wait to hear Lenny's thoughts on all of the games.
A lot of Ben Solak's thoughts, maybe a little bit of Lenny.
Well, that's fair, but whatever he has to say, I take it very seriously. So do my dogs. They listen to that podcast religiously.
Thank you.
You guys, we are brought to you by Bet Online. You can find me on X at Tracy FGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler, and follow along for all the Trent Williams news and beyond. If you like what you heard, and I know you did, please give us a 5-star rating and a super positive review. And with that, I will talk to everyone later this week when we preview the 49ers and the Jets. Bye, all.